From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
Thank you for joining us, fellow lovers of liberty and human dignity and freedom. It is Sunday, 10-10-10, the 10th day of the 10th month of the 10th year on this live Sunday transmission. And I have a wide spectrum of vital news and information in front of me here today. 1 year after Obama wins Nobel Prize, world looks for signs of peace. What a joke. Finance leaders call for IMF role in averting protectionist currency war going on worldwide. We have now seen for the first time the third generation hereditary dictator Kim Jong-un unveiled in North Korea. What an example of how bad big government is and how evil communism is. We're going to be discussing that. If I have time today, I also want to read some large excerpts from the speech given March 23rd, 1775 by Patrick Henry, Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death, and compare that to Kim Jong-il, his father, Kim Il-sung, and now the grandson, Kim Jong-un. And we have some of the demonic photographs of him just seething with petty, petulant, Nero-like, out-of-control, dehumanizing power. We'll also get into Barack Obama accused of exaggerating terror threat for political gain. London Guardian and other mainstream papers. It's like when I brought it up Friday to Ron Paul, I said clearly they're using these fake terror alerts like Ridge admitted Bush did for political gain. And Obama said, we'll keep you safe from the terrorist if you'll just give your rights up to us. But I brought that up to Ron Paul, and he said, well, this is just par for the course with what all of these different scallywags are up to. So we'll be going over the economy. Also, Kucinich probes whether FBI informant triggered Kent State massacre. Other headlines say FBI informant fired first shot at Kent State. Boy, that's not a surprise. That's not anything that's really newsworthy for our audience. I mean, 9 times out of 10, who stages the terror or who fires the first shot or who dumps over trash cans and sets fire to cars so the paramilitary police can attack peaceful crowds? It's their own thuggish minions. But there's an investigation going on in Congress that's being kicked off dealing with that. Also, obviously, we've been tracking for the last 2 years the major political realignment happening in this country. And it's gone from a sure win for the Republicans in the House to it being neck and neck in the Senate that the Republicans will get control, to now many analysts are saying the Republicans have a good chance of winning a narrow majority, maybe 51-49 in the U.S. Senate. Well, it would be 50-48. I guess there's one independent in the Senate. There's one independent senator in there. So we'll be going over all of those numbers as well today. But I have to just take a deep breath and think about, A, how many people are waking up and how good that news is, but B, just how real and naked this oppressive tyranny that we're facing really is and the road we're going down. We are bankrupt. If we try to pay back the $1,400 trillion or $1,500 trillion, depending on what estimate you look at, or even the Washington Post estimate of $600-plus trillion, to the private banks, it is hundreds of times all the real assets in the world, depending on how you slice it. In some cases, it's thousands of times all the real assets. It is a debt black hole designed to render us down to basically a cross between serfs in Mexico and North Korea. So we'll be covering that first when we get back on the other side. It is 10-10-10, the 10th day of October, 2010. I'm Alex Jones. The websites are PrisonPlanet.tv and InfoWars.com, JonesReport.com.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
It is the 10th day of October 2010, 10, 10, 10. And we're going to be live here for the next 2 hours. Thank you so much for spending time with us on this Sunday. I know there's a lot of gladiatorial sporting events to watch. There's a lot of movies to watch on television, a lot of alcohol to be basically quaffed down into our collective gullets, a lot of Prozac to take, a lot of Adderall to gobble and pop, and a lot of drugs to be taken. This country uses more drugs than every other industrialized nation combined. But our listeners are tuning in on this Sunday because they understand our society, our civilization, our culture is in deep trouble. And if we don't turn the ship around quickly, the damage is going to be irrevocable. And I've seen the analogy of turning a government, an empire around from going headlong into tyranny back towards the North Star of liberty and freedom. It's like turning a big cruise ship around. It takes some time. And there are attempts to turn the ship around. And we've turned the ship, you know, maybe 15, 20 degrees. But the establishment is coming in doing everything they can, trying to turn the ship back towards total control. And it's stated by the Ford Foundation, by the Carnegie Endowment, by the United Nations, the Club of Rome, the RAND Corporation. All of them are on record. And we, of course, link to these up at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, admitting that they want a post-industrial United States. They want a form of collectivism where the middle class is enslaved and their money is then transferred to the ultra-rich, who then apportion a small amount of chicken feed to further placate and domesticate the giant howling mob of dumbed-down Prozac, alcoholic sports fans. And that's the danger of democracy, as the founders all agree. This is one of the few subjects they all agreed on unanimously. The Second Amendment was one of the others. The right to keep and bear arms for the defense of your family against criminals and the state was that democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. You got three votes, two wolves voting, one sheep voting. Well, what do you think is going to be on the dinner table that night? And once the wolves use democracy of, we'll give you free health care, just let the government take over health care. Of course, the dumbed-down mass begging for it never gets the free health care, and that's now been announced. 30 major firms, including McDonald's, are given exemptions. They don't have to. That happened Thursday. USA Today reported they don't have to get any insurance. But 29 million plus other small businesses, what is it, 29.6 million small businesses, doesn't matter if you've got one employee or you're the only person, you are going to have to go get the overpriced health care. And, of course, as more money gets forcefully dumped into the insurance company scam, it's making the price go up on average around 26%, according to the Congressional Budget Office. They're already seeing those numbers. And remember who wrote, and this was even in the Wall Street Journal, but buried in the back of it, but it had the head of the healthcare union, lobbying union, the head of the lobbyist group, admitting that the major insurance companies had written the healthcare bill. Socialism, collectivism, written by the elites, written by the billionaire insurance company stockholders and owners. Just like we have over $2 trillion a year in defense corporate welfare, and Congress keeps asking where the now $4 trillion missing under Clinton, Bush, and now Obama. Where's the money? They won't say. Again, corporate welfare. If you take the banker bailout money, Bloomberg reported, $30 got spent in the mega banks and in bonuses for banks all over the world, not just in the U.S. with our bailout money that we have to pay back in taxes and that also devalues our dollar. For every $30 that got spent on the bailout, $1 went to chicken feed. $1 went to helping people with mortgages. They admit that the banks are lending less, not more. What did I tell you? What did Ron Paul tell you? What did Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former head of the Treasury, tell you on this show back in October of last year? They said, you watch, banks are going to hoard that money and loan even less, hence shutting the economy down even faster. They wrote the plan. They want to be flush in cash so they can buy things up cheaper. It's simple. A lot of you out there listening have done well in business. You've saved. You've got a lot of assets. You're not part of the elite, but you're worth millions or even hundreds of millions of dollars, many of you. And you're sitting back waiting for the economy to fold before you start buying more real estate, aren't you? Well, that's a microcosm of what the banksters are doing. And people need to understand that Democrats come, Republicans come and go. But at the end of the day, the very same lobbying interests, the very same special interests are in control of both parties. Now, there is a major political realignment. It dwarfs what happened with people being upset by Clinton going after the Second Amendment back in 1993 with the major political upset of 1994. But Newt Gingrich, who's a carbon tax promoting globalist, he came in. The liberal media attacked him, so conservatives got fooled by that little shell game and thought, my gosh, Gingrich must be great if the media is attacking him. And he totally sold everything out. Same thing with Bush, because they are nothing but front men. And now Democrats won't wake up and call for lower taxes, even though it'll jumpstart our economy, every historical reference shows, because they see Republicans who have been discredited attacking Obama, so Obama must be good. This is how the very simple-minded people's political extrapolations basically happen. And if you don't grow up and realize that it is a tag team WWF wrestling show, we're in deep trouble. Now, if you get a case like Angle in Nevada, or you get a case like Rand Paul in Kentucky, and you see the Republican leadership trying to beat them in the primary, you better believe they're good. You better believe they're good. Look, this woman's a nut. She wants fluoride out of the water. Soon as you hear that, vote for her. Rand Paul, they started lying and saying he was kidnapping women. A week later, they had to admit it was all made up and wasn't true. But, that showed you, and Dick Cheney went and campaigned against him. Rand Paul, you know he's good. But, I spent hours and hours every week going down all these congressional races, House and Senate. And I'd say about 30% or so of the Republican candidates set to win are good. They're anti-globalist, pro-free market libertarians. Another 30% or so, this is just dead reckoning, are on the fence. I'm not sure about them. They're putting out the right rhetoric, but they've got mainline Republican Party backing. You got to watch them. But the other 33% or so, the other third that we're dealing with here are hardcore establishment, police state loving, anti-American, blue blood, Rockefeller style Republicans. And they're going to be teamed up with the Democrats, who are the favorites of the globalists because they get the job done. They collectivize things. They're going to team up in the next Congress, and it is going to be one hell of a fight. And the key here is we've got to keep their feet to the fire as soon as these people get into office, and we've got to make sure that we don't get some Henry Kissinger, New World Order, Zbigniew Brzezinski, David Rockefeller approved Republican who runs for president and ends up getting all the endorsements and winning. But that's only one part of that equation. And it's the smaller piece, in my opinion. I hope you'll hear me out on this. The main fight, as our founders designed it, the main stopgap, the main firewall is the 50 states, 13 at the time, where we can get good sheriffs elected, county commissioners, local members of the legislatures, House and Senate. That's where you have 8% on average, 8.3% average turnout nationwide, right at 60% nationally for big presidential elections. If we can get 60% of patriot-loving, freedom-loving, common-sense people to go out and vet candidates or run themselves and start taking the states over through nullification, 10th Amendment, we can stop the New World Order at the pass. If you put everything on the president, you're going to lose. Or even on the Congress. You put it all on the states. That's the cavalry. We'll be right back.
We've got it.
The transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones, coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
We are live. It is 10-10-10 on this live Sunday broadcast. I'm here 6 days a week, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time. Weekdays back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. Central, 5 to 7 Eastern. And we are going to open the phones up coming up later in the hour. I need to continue getting into the news. If you've studied history or even looked at what's happened in the last 50 years in this nation, you know collectivism doesn't work for the general public. But it always works for a tiny elite, and it sets them up as basically kings. And collectivists, if you read their actual writings, they admit they want to collectivize your life, to control you, and to bankrupt you so that you basically are their slaves. Slavery has been the most common system in world history. Didn't matter what culture it was, in Africa or in Mesoamerica or in what is Asia or Russia or Europe, it's the same thing. Corrupt elites get into power. They get out of control. If you look at some areas and time periods in history, you'd have the benevolent philosopher king. And they build aqueducts and educate the poor. And we're not greedy control freaks. And you'd have a renaissance. But those were very rare. And always their son or their daughter or their son or daughter, two or three generations down, get megalomaniacal or spoiled brats. I mean, look at people born 50, 60, 70, 80 years ago who grew up on farms in this country. They're self-sufficient. They're hardworking. They get up at 5 a.m. Look at young people today. Decadent, slovenly, full of themselves, only care about themselves. On average, they don't care about their neighbor. Their neighbor doesn't care about them. Easy for a corrupt state to come in and take control of the society because people are so greedy and self-centered. Well, that microcosm of the individual becoming a snot-nosed brat is accentuated and accelerated to the 10th power with a situation like North Korea. But before I get into North Korea, as an example of where we're headed, you've got liberty on one end of the spectrum, North Korea on the other. We're trying to get more like 1776. It wasn't perfect, but it's certainly the polar opposite. It's in the opposite direction of a North Korea. And I've studied North Korea in depth. I've interviewed guests that have infiltrated and journalists. And they literally, for the general public, keep humans in stalls. Most of the population is kept in work camps, and the men and women are in different parts of the camps, and then they will take a woman, they even check her like a cow, and when she is ovulating, they put her in a stall for the weekend with a male. They then ship her to another camp to have the baby. Then after she has the baby, they ship the baby to another camp and the woman to another camp, so that there's no such thing as a family. Their goal, you can read this in many of the communist documents from even Russia, is to end the family and the state will become the family, and that they will take children, quote, like you take eggs from a hen. And that's a George Orwell quote in 1984, but Eric Blair was his real name. He had been a communist, and he had worked with the communists at very high levels, especially in the Spanish Civil War, and he was decrying communism and saying this is their plan. He'd also worked, of course, for MI6 in propaganda during World War II, so I'm digressing. The point is, he really knew what he was talking about. He'd been a member of the Imperial Police in India as a young man, then he'd become a communist, then he found out that was a scam, worked for the British government, and wrote a book about how the elite controls both ends of the spectrum. Or you can read Dr. Carol Quigley's book about how the big banks are financing a world takeover and a world collapse and how they finance fascism, communism. They don't care as long as it's collectivist. Now, what's really going on in Mexico? I've been studying the situation in Mexico for more than a decade in depth. We've had some of the top scholars, even advisors to the State Department on about it. I told folks 6 years ago that a civil war had begun in all over Mexico, not just in Chiapas, as it had kicked off 12 years ago. But it had gone nationwide in southern North America as of about 6 years ago. And it's now the most dangerous place in the world per capita for tourists, I would add, according to all the numbers we've got. And you look at what's happening there, you hear, oh, the drug dealers are fighting with the government. No, they're not. Mexico is run by less than 20 families. They have more billionaires per capita than the United States. Let me say that again. Mexico has triple the natural resources the United States has, triple, conservatively, and they have more billionaires than the United States does. They are in the top 10 poorest countries in the world, and they have one of the highest ratios of ultra-rich on the planet. You've got a giant mass of poor people and a tiny elite. Now, the problem for the elite of Mexico is they allowed one commodity to be in their nation that they didn't fully control. They control with their monopoly Pemex and the oil. They control with a monopoly the cell phones. They control with a monopoly the banking system. They control with a monopoly over the regional governorships of all the farming. And they tried to control marijuana, cocaine, and heroin. But other corrupt elites, private groups, entrepreneurs, cowboys, came in. Mexico allowed them to operate for decades, making payments to the central government, and the central government tried to come in about 6 years ago and shut down that, and now the Mexican government has become so corrupt, and they're, of course, drug dealing. They're the main drug dealers, and they're allied with three cartels against the other five, that the public has decided to join with the other cartels who have now taken over entire towns, entire regions, kill police they can't buy, kill mayors they can't buy, try to kill or kill governors they can't buy. And it's just a bunch of corrupt thugs fighting with each other. But the people have spoken and believe that the drug dealer courts, they've set up their citizen courts, are more just than the state. Kind of like 120 years ago or so in, you know, Little Italy in New York City, where people could play in the streets, children were safe, old ladies were safe, nobody was getting mugged because the mafia wouldn't let you do it. And the mafia, the Italian mob, was able to take over much of New York because the Italian immigrants were looked down upon by the WASP in New York, if you go back around 150 years ago, and they wouldn't give police protection to them. So crime exploded, but then another criminal group came in to offer law and order to those Italian areas, and that's how La Cosa Nostra became so powerful in this country. So it's a parallel to that in Mexico. Now, they're smarter than that when it comes to evil. They're smarter than that when it comes to pure wickedness in North Korea. And when you study the UN, when you study Greenpeace, when you study all the eco-fascists, and they call themselves that, when they talk about post-industrial world totally controlling us, the model that North Korea has is the model that the United Nations and George Soros on record want for the United States. And when we come back, we're going to look at the prime premium example of evil and tyranny and communism with the third hereditary dictator about to become enthroned in North Korea. And we're going to talk about what goes on in North Korea. This is what big government is. We'll be right back. We are back live. Alex Jones here. The websites are Infowars.com. PrisonPlanet.tv, where you can see the live video streaming of the syndicated radio broadcast, PrisonPlanet.tv. Okay, I want to cover North Korea, then I'm going to get into the economy and show how we're being dominated not by a hereditary dictatorship, but by a cartel of private banks, and how they've designed a financial system to destroy our economy by design. So I'm going to go ahead and get into this right now. Now, just listen to this Associated Press article. And while we're talking, I'm going to put up on screen video of Kim Jong-il, the hereditary dictator from his father, Kim Il-sung, now making his son, who's never been seen on North Korean TV, who's never been seen by Western television, that they admit in the article, that this guy has never before been seen. He looks just like his dad, the dictator. And now they bring him out and say, he will soon be your leader. That dad is sick, and so here is the son. And then you watch all these men, all these parasites, all these women that literally cannibalize the North Korean people. Their population has gone down by more than 5 million just in the last 20 years. Literally killing their own people. A bunch of vampires with that little demonic goblin, Kim Jong-il, stumbling around on the stage, unveiling his son. And this evil will just continue forever. I mean, once they get in control and once they brainwash the population, in 20, 30 years, when this guy's all diseased and drugged out like his father, he'll be appointing his son hereditary dictator or king. And their nation, when diplomats land, they have 50-year-old airplanes, 50-year-old cars. The streets are empty. Vanity Fair reported about a decade ago that you could buy human body parts at the equivalent of hot dog stands on the streets. Okay? Absolute hell on earth, worse than 1984. But according to the churches that have been paid off by the federal government under faith-based initiatives, the clergy response teams, they're teaching churches in this country and the preachers to tell their flocks, Romans 13, do whatever government says, it's of God. So according to their twisting in the Bible, this is of God, and we should all worship Kim Jong-un, the third-generation dictator. All of you that love government and worship it and worship the checkpoints and the face scanning cameras and school kids thumb scanning to get their school lunches nationwide and all of this, this is where we're going. We know where this goes. We understand where it's going. We'll be lucky if we only turn into something like Mexico in the next decade. North Korea's Kim, heir apparent, son at lavish parade. And they love to make everybody do acrobatics and marching to show, look at our slaves, how well-trained they are. Clapping, waving, and even cracking a smile, the youngest son of North Korean leader Kim Jong-il joined his father Sunday at a massive military parade in his most public appearance since being unveiled as the nation's next leader. They go on to say he'd never before been seen. Kim Jong-un, dressed in a dark blue civilian suit, sat next to his father on an observation platform at Kim the Second Sung Plaza, that's the first dictator, as armored trucks with rocket launchers and tanks rolled by as part of celebrations marking the 65th anniversary of the reclusive state's ruling Workers' Party. And they have checkpoints and they have tanks on the streets, just like a third world country, just like the United States is turning into. I mean, people would put down Kim Jong-il or his son if they had naked body scanners at the airport. But we do it here, and oh, we're land of the free, home of the brave. While Homeland Security puts out reports demonizing gun owners, conservatives, libertarians, saying we're the number one threat. AP Seoul Bureau Chief was one of the only photographers allowed in. They go on. It was a monumentous public debut of Kim Jong-un less than 2 weeks after he was made a four-star general and set on the path to succession, which would carry the Kim dynasty over the communist country into a third generation. His father, Kim Il-sung, was the nation's founder. Just days earlier, the world got a first glimpse of the son from photos published in a state newspaper. Oh, the first glimpse the slaves got to see. Of course, most of them don't even get newspapers, so it doesn't matter. Sunday's appearance was carried live by state TV, beaming him into North Korean households and giving the people their first good look at the future leader. Oh, the dear one, the dear leader. Seeing the two Kims side by side above the huge portrait of Kim Il-sung and later waving to the crowd drew huge cheers of hooray and some tears from North Koreans attending the parade in the heart of the Capitol. Just like people here cheer on the police state, cheer on the Federal Reserve raping them because they feel like they're part of the power structure. Kim Jong-il, protect him to the death. Kim Jong-il, let us unite to support him. They chanted for the 68-year-old leader walked the length of the platform, appearing to limp slightly and gripping the banister. The Kims later appeared at a nighttime celebration that exploded into a grand spectacle of fireworks and patriotism. Historic footage of Kim Il-sung played on big screens as thousands of dancers performed intricate routines that were choreographed. At one point, the dancers seemed to transform the stadium floor into a vast sea of ocean waves, then a field of trees. The Workers' Party parade was said to be North Korea's largest ever, an impressive display of unity and military might for a country known for its elaborately staged performances. Look at this positive AP article. Oh, he's such a leader. And then they went on to give speeches about how they were keeping North Korea safe from the Western terrorist. Just like they took everybody's freedoms in communist Russia to keep everybody safe from hate crimes and terrorism. And what did the Soviets develop? The term politically incorrect. Everything we're seeing unfold here has happened over and over and over again. We know where this goes. The elites just don't not care about you. They want you bankrupted. And the slave camps that more than half the population lives in, they are literally animals that can hardly talk. They are animals to the state. They have been turned and reduced into slaves. And I guess this happened in this country, too. The millions of black slaves brought here were not allowed to read and write. They were not allowed to have, obviously, weapons. They had to stay in barns like animals. But, and I've got the slave training manuals from the 1700s, translated into English out of French and Portuguese, out of the sugar cane plantations in the Caribbean, how they controlled people. They would take women when they were very young, teach them how to read and write, teach them that they got to live in the house, they were the enforcers, and they were the spies that would watch over the male men and boys. And how did they begin this? That's feminism. This has all been well documented. Look it up for yourself. They described how when they would bring slaves in, more than half would die from the transatlantic voyage from the African Gold Coast, where they'd been conked on the head. Sharks would follow the ships all the way across. On average, about half the slaves, the human beings, would die. And once they got there, they would take the biggest, strongest leader male, who was obviously the most intelligent, and they would claim he'd done something wrong. They'd have someone there that could, you know, speak, one of the slave traders who could speak the African dialect, and they would then beat him to near death or to death. They would then take male children and claim they'd been bad and start beating them to death, and then they'd tell the women, okay, you keep them down, you keep them in line, we won't kill your men. Everything's done for the children. Oh, let's turn our guns in to keep the household safe. Let's break up the family. Let's pay black people starting in the 60s to not have men in the home so they could break up the family and go from 50% illegitimacy to over 90%. Well, now it's being done to everybody else. This is the social engineering. We live in a country that is becoming more and more like North Korea every day, and now the mainstream media is admitting that the federal government wants to start censoring talk radio and the internet. They want to shut me up so I can't sit here and tell you all of this. We'll be right back.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Okay, we're going to take a lot of calls in the second hour today. The toll-free number to join us on 101010 is 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244, and we'll get you up and on the air. Today I want to do first-time callers. I want to add that, give first-time callers a chance to get on board, 888-201-2244. Later in the next hour, I'm going to get into this financial news, but I want to cover the overall global takeover first and tie it into the tyranny of big government, aka North Korea, that I was just talking about. Bank of America stops U.S. foreclosures for review. A decade ago, we covered this. Bank of America stops foreclosures across the country, expanding review of mortgage documents. And we had a lot of financial guests on a decade ago talking about the fact that banks were taking mortgages, lumping them into derivatives, and then selling them as huge packages that couldn't be differentiated from the individual mortgages. And then the original sellers would still, in most cases, service and take all the fines and fees. And I had an experience where my mortgage got sold three times in 1 year, and Bank of America got it, and they took our escrow and started threatening to come after us, and I had to begin filing suit on them until they apologized and found the problem and gave me my escrow back. I mean, I was paying these people, and they had just taken my escrow. And so they're trying to get a law passed, and it went to Obama's desk, but he didn't sign it, which was one good thing he did this week, where they're allowed to basically engage in all this criminality. And, of course, it came out in AP last week that J.P. Morgan has been raiding with private goons, so is Goldman Sachs and others, and taking people's houses that they don't even own or that have paid cash or paid it off. They just don't care. That's like Bloomberg a month ago reporting that 6 million veterans, a secret deal was signed 11 years ago for when the veterans die, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm 1, or the current wars, that they don't get their death benefits they paid for through insurance, and the insurance companies just keep it, and the Veterans Affairs, the Department of Veterans, just decided that was okay. I mean, folks, the corruption is so crazy that it's even hard for me to believe. So that's my point. We're not in Kansas anymore. The system has made the decision to commit millions of super hardcore crimes. Remember, again, 11 years ago, insiders began to send dossiers about Bernie Madoff stealing now over $100 billion. First it was 50, then 70, then 80, then 90. And it turned out the SEC blocked all those investigations. And then this year, through the banking reform bill, they were given more secrecy and more power to not be audited by Congress, just like the private Federal Reserve is outside of Congress, just like the World Trade Organization is a private group outside of Congress. This is global corporate governance, not your corporation down the street, not your bank down the street that in many cases is doing a great job. The big mega Fortune 100, they're the ones that sold the trillions in derivatives. They're the ones that bought up the infrastructure. Now they get bailed out to fix the problem. Then they make lending even more hard to get. That's coming up. And I remember 15 years ago reading public trilateral commission documents by David Rockefeller and Zbigniew Brzezinski, one of Obama's top advisors, where they said by 2012, this is in the 70s, 1975, 76, and how many years have I talked about this? How many films have I laid this out? How right have we been? How they would sell derivatives, and when they got rid of Glass-Steagall, we knew that was happening in 99, how they would buy up the planet's resources through the fraudulent, counterfeit financial instruments they had made, how they would then pose as the savior to fix the problem they created and would announce a bank of the world made up of the IMF and World Bank that you would pay a value-added global tax to of about 2% GDP per nation, another currency transaction, Tobin VAT, not on them, on us, and a carbon tax. Now, how did all of this come true? How is this all over AP, Reuters, Bloomberg today? How was I so right? Well, it wasn't hard. I was reading what they said they would do. I want you to understand, if you're a new listener, everything you're hearing here, everything is on the record admitted. I know you have that old memory of the mainline Republican host saying none of this existed for decades. That was to keep you in the dark. Now they're at the point of emerging with all of this. They can't hide it. So the Republicans are taking the tack of being the opposition to it to make sure they can get back in power and share power with the Democrats. But they've miscalculated. So many real conservatives are about to get elected. The globalists are scared. Now, the Trilateral Commission said they would implode the world economy, then they would have global currency wars, and out of that crisis, this is in 75, looking forward to this time we're in now, they said, once we've gotten to that point, And once we've collectivized things in the world financial system to that point, once we've got, and of course they were making money and vertically integrating the economy and consolidating power the whole time, but just moving towards the real bonanza of no way out, they said that they would propose a global currency. Now they've announced it, the Bancor, but it won't be a paper currency you get out of an ATM or a currency exchange. It is bank to bank issued by the big mega six global banks. Bank-to-bank digital currency that they just make up out of nothing. It's not even backed up by mortgages. It's not even backed up by the U.S. Treasury. It's just a whole new level in the name of stopping the currency wars. Because what is called currency wars is what the G20 announced 2 years ago, last year, and this year. Search this term. G20 announces coordinated currency devaluation. Coordinated. And then, as everybody notices that the currencies are plunging, they go, jeepers, Jiminy Crickets, we better fix this. And here's a stack of mainstream news today, all up on Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com, written as if they just got a new plan this week. It's a global currency. And the IMF and World Bank will stop the banks from all their bad behavior, even though they're just private holding companies for the mega banks, but we won't mention that. And they're going to fix it all now. Aren't you just, isn't that just special? And it gives them total control over our domestic currency, over the rate of interest, everything. This is financial dictatorship. There it is. G20 summit. Gordon Brown announces new world order. London Telegraph. Concerted devaluation of the currencies. Isn't that nice of them? Because they've already devalued the currency. So they're just doing it in a coordinated fashion and then calling it a crisis that they're going to fix when they're on record engineering the whole thing in 1975. But regardless, even if you won't go look that up, you know they're the ones that engineered this. They created a debt black hole of 1.5 quadrillion, 1,500 trillion. Conservatively, the Washington Post says 600 plus trillion. No one can pay that back. It's a fraud, as Ron Paul said here Friday. We don't owe it. It's a fraud. There's no way to pay it back. But they want all these the government knows when they raise taxes that it makes less money come in. They want to stall the economy. They engineered it. Finance leaders call for IMF role in averting protectionist currency war. The G20 has the 20 ministers over finance meet over and over again the last 2 years. They used to meet once a year. Now they meet about six times a year. Every city they go into is a lockdown police state. And they come out and say, we've got to fix this problem. And I've got a Timothy Geithner about a new world order, new global currency to fix this. There they are, Bloomberg. S&P, 60% of countries will be bankrupt. Here's another one. Geithner urges greater IMF role in currencies, a global group controlling the world's currencies. Oh, no Social Security COLA expected in 2011. Inflation's off the charts. The Wall Street Journal reported Thursday that the Fed's plan to, quote, fix the debt is inflation. Oh, that was the plan in the 80s in Mexico. That was the plan 10 years ago in Argentina. The elite uses the money up front while it's still got its value. They inflate it. You've got to pay it back in taxes. They buy real assets. Then they hand you the debt, and you've got to pay it back in more taxes. So I've got all that economic news. I'm going to talk about your mortgage. We're going to get some more experts on specifically about this, but there's a bunch of different frauds. If they take your mortgage, package it, and sell it 5, 6, 7, 8 times, or even one time, and put it into derivatives, and no one even knows where the money is, and they start trying to manipulate all this stuff, you don't know that money anymore because they don't even have the deed. The point is they're engaged in mass fraud. Bank of America has now suspended all foreclosures while they try to get Congress to write a law allowing them to engage in this type of chicanery. I mean, ladies and gentlemen, the implosion is on. The depression is here. It's either us or them. It's a designed depression. You better wake up and realize that and get hardcore or it's over. The U.S. is done. Third world cesspit.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN radio network.
The planet's ruling elite have decided to fully gut society and go for broke. They're putting their police state in. They were building it long before the implosion. RAND Corporation admitted for the implosion. Now the Pentagon puts out reports saying, oh my gosh, we could have a total collapse of society. Only martial law will save us. They create the crisis, offer the solution. I want to take a lot of your phone calls before I get back into the economy and a lot of other key issues, plus government seizes newborn baby over political beliefs of parents. More intel on that. Big story from Friday. 888-201-2244. First-time callers, 888-201-2244. Let's go to John in Georgia. You're on the air, John.
Yeah, Alex.
Hey.
I'm kind of confused about one thing. I'm aware that the IMF and the G20 scheme, but my question is, and I hope you can clarify it for me, is that China's fighting against the IMF and the U.S. by undervaluing their yen, or is it some kind of complete hoax not seen yet? Because it seems to me China is coming out on top globally more than the Federal Reserve.
The CFR, the Trilateral Commission, said 20 years ago that this century would be the, quote, Chinese century. They teamed up with them to deindustrialize the West so people would go into more debt to the banks. They always claim that they're, I just said that last hour, that there's a currency war, but that's not what's happening. They'll complain about it, but they've engineered it. I mean, if the people running the U.S. had wanted to stop China, they would have had more tariffs on foreign goods like China does on us. So, yeah, they'll complain about what China's doing, but this has all been agreed upon.
Okay. I was just clarifying because all I see in mainstream is China. In China this, and China that.
Yeah, and then in China they'll scapegoat us, and here we'll scapegoat China, when it's a global system above these countries playing us all off against each other to vertically integrate wealth.
Okay, I appreciate that, Alex. Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you, John. Good question. Bob in Arizona. Bob, you're on the air.
Yes, hello, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I really appreciate you taking my call. I'll be really, really quick on this. Is there some sort of a database, or is there some way to find out if your pastor or ex-pastor is part of the clergy response team?
No. 5 years ago, we received the secret documents. 2 years later, some local newscast admitted it, but said how great it was that they were helping prepare everyone for martial law. It is secret. It's part of a subset of InfraGuard, and it's highly secretive. But you need to, I mean, if your preacher's up there telling you do what the government says, it's of the Lord, you better believe that they are part of the clergy response team or their denomination through the World Council of Churches and the National Council of Churches is ordering them to do that.
Jesus, you know, they're fundamental Baptists, they're separatists, you know, they're not associated with any of these, you know, like Southern Baptist convention. They claim that they're not all part of that. But basically, I talked to some of the congregation and was basically trying to wake them up. I told them that I watched your show.
And you were told to shut up in America because you don't. A lot of that is also 501c3. They've taken over the churches and tricked them to be a charity instead of, under the First Amendment, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Then they give memos that we've covered on air to the preachers where they then tell their flock, you don't even talk about politics at a church picnic. And so that could be what's happening there as well. But you were told to shut up?
Well, basically, I had to have back surgery and I was really sick. No one showed up. Then out of the clear blue sky, one of the elders showed up unexpectedly, and I told him how, I had been studying my Bible, and a lot of the things that are going on in the world are basically prophecies that were written 2,600 years ago, and he looks at me, and he gets all bug-eyed, and he's like, that's a sin. I'm like, what, a sin to study my Bible? He said, that's a sin to be studying your Bible and comparing it to what's going on today.
No. Most of these churches are just government operations, and of course they've got to take the churches over. In 1776, it was the churches that led the fight against tyranny. It's the same in China, Russia, you name it. They always take over the churches. Get out of that church.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center in the heart of the resistance. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
We are are now into hour number two on this 10th day of October 2010, 10-10-10. I'm going to go to as many of your calls now in this segment and the next, and I'm going to continue getting back into the news. They're investigating in Congress whether an FBI informant fired the first shots at Kent State. We'll look at some of the political races across the country, horrifying Republican and Democratic bigwigs who are afraid of their status quo of criminality being upset. That is just some of what is coming up. Also, the London Guardian has the headline, Barack Obama accused of exaggerating terror threat for political gain. But to put bookends on what I was talking about last hour, the RAND Corporation and others in the late 90s, I was reading where they said, we're going to federalize local police. There's going to be terror attacks. We're going to take your rights away. Kids are going to thumb scan to buy and sell. That's going to train everyone through the public schools to where everything you do will be tracked. We're going to have naked body scanners on the streets. And I went on air and warned everyone. And now every day I see scores of mainstream news articles going, oh, the entire Los Angeles school district, you must thumb scan when you get to school to get your lunch. You must face scan to make sure it's really you when you get to school. You must be searched by the police. I mean, literally 1984, 500 mobile X-ray vans looking through your walls. I mean, it's just insane. And it is not to stop crime. It's to protect the criminal government itself run by offshore banks that are using the government as a profit-making system to rob the daylights out of people to bankrupt us so we're under their control. All right, we're taking your phone calls. The toll-free number is 888-201-2244, 888-201-2244. We're going to go to Lucretia, Venus, and Eric, Ted, Jim, and others that are patiently holding, Brent and others, and Humbu and others. Let's talk to Lucretia in Oregon. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you, Alex. Info Warrior and Prison Planet member, first-time caller. By the way, please tell your people to join up because it's just incredible to have your show. I often listen to it twice because there's no other ads on it. And you know, I was listening to your show for a long time before, and it was always ads, and I couldn't often, you know, get through it all. So,
well, let me be clear. Let me just stop you, Lucretia, and then I'll let you make your point because I want to hear from you. We have 14 minutes of ads an hour on the weekday shows, about 16 on the Sunday show. That's below industry standard. And of course, there's free audio streams at Infowars.com. But our local AM and FM affiliates, they get half the ads. The network gets half the ads. So, you know, a station's probably only getting about 6 minutes of ads an hour. We're only getting about 6 minutes of ads an hour. So that's why you hear the ads. But yes, if you're a PrisonPlanet.tv member, you get all my films, my book, Paul Watson's book, the archive of each show, a higher quality audio podcast, the video podcast. It's all at PrisonPlanet.tv, and that's why a lot of folks like it. And we appreciate you for your support. Go ahead and make your point.
Yes, absolutely. I love supporting you. You're always talking about fluoride, and it's not just fluoride. I'm a nutritionist, and have been a nutritionist for 25 years. And George Norrie had a fellow on, Dr. Mark Starr, and he talked about how 95% of Americans are now hypothyroid. They've taken the iodine out of the salt, the milk, the bread, and they're replacing it with all these iodine antagonists. Probably your key to longevity and your immune system is your thyroid.
That's right. Minerals, and literally everywhere I go, I hear young women talking about their hyperthyroid, their hair falling out, and it is just hitting women even harder. And it's true, we have a diet low in minerals, especially iodine. You are absolutely right.
Yeah, especially fibroids, and then they used to treat cholesterol. The first thing they would do is give you, or high blood pressure, would be give you desiccated thyroid. T4 doesn't work. It needs the iodine, the selenium, and all these other things. So if your doctor has you on that, but Alex, you can pinch your deltoid right by the top of your shoulder, and if you can't close to pinch your two fingers together, and it, you know, looking at you, I can see it would be very beneficial because you're always wanting to get your nice thin face back and not lose your hair, and the thyroid is critical in getting iodine to not going bald and like you were worried about. But it's not, like I said, there's brominated vegetable oil in your Mountain Dew and your Gatorade. Those things also make you paranoid. They used to give them in World War bromide or bromine.
No, I mean, look, the food is just full of poisons and toxins. Good to hear from you. God bless you. Let me just make a brief comment on this. I called Kurt Nemo yesterday, one of our writers at InfoWars.com, and I sent him a bunch of links. He did a lot of other great research. And the headline is, A Warning to Glenn Beck, Don't Drink Diet Coke. And Glenn Beck has macular dystrophy, or the degeneration of the nerves that attach to the eye. And I've had brain surgeons on, scientists. I have the Food and Drug Administration's own reports about aspartame that is now in Big League Chew, Wrigley Spearmint, regular sugar gum. I mean, I'll go to the grocery store, and I like gum sometimes, and or my children want it, and I can't find any gum. I was at a gas station about a week ago, though, and they had old-fashioned Beemans. That's just sugar gum. And, I mean, you have to mail order it, or it's very hard to find regular sugar gum. And, I mean, I've researched aspartame. I know they tried to approve it twice in the 70s. I know the Pentagon accidentally discovered it when they were working on chemical weapons. Folks, if you don't believe me, just search the term aspartame manufacturing process. It's a genetically modified E. coli bacteria that they feed toxic chemicals to, and then it excretes aspartame, and aspartame breaks down at above 86 degrees, and the body's, you know, of course, hotter than that, a few degrees hotter, into basically wood alcohol and formaldehyde. Now, remember the old speakeasies in the decade of Prohibition, and everybody going blind who was drinking bad alcohol because it would have wood alcohol in it? Well, that's basically what aspartame breaks down into. And one of the number one, I was having doctors on 15 years ago about this, and I didn't even know what macular dystrophy or, you know, degeneration was. And they would say, people are going blind. They're having organ failure. They tell diabetics to do, and I see children everywhere. Today, I was at a park, and there were kids there, and there were two different families with children, and I watched them running around with diet sodas. And I said, can I see that? And it said aspartame. I mean, it's in everything. And there's Glenn Beck going blind and having all these other health problems. And I don't know that that's it. I just know that that's one of the main causes of this. And we've got all these new neurological disorders. We've got all these new problems. And it's one of the big issues is aspartame. And now aspartame is in thousands and thousands of different products. Let's jam in a call. Venus and Eric in New York are on the air.
Hi, Alex. My name is Venus, and we called on prayer with my friend Eric. I just have one quick question that he's asking me. I was curious. You had David Icke on the other day, and he was talking about us as humans, like we're not real, and all of this life is not real. I just want you to speak to that, please, and tell me what does he mean, and if you believe in that.
Well, no, I don't believe in that, but I don't think that's what he was saying. He was saying that what we see, and this is what the big advertising execs knew 60 years ago, is a hologram developed in our brain. You know, when you're in your mother at less than a month, the eyes grow out of the brain, and the eyes are part of the brain. And so your eyes are picking up this information. Your nose is picking up smell, you know, the touch, you hear, and all of that is integrated together into basically a 3D hologram in your mind, okay? And so he was talking about how the controllers are able to basically program the five senses because they understand that we are a electrochemical computer. That's what the brain is. And so it can be falsely programmed. And so he was saying that so many people just accept everything they're seeing or whatever the television is saying when they're in a suspended disbelief. Have you heard the term suspended disbelief?
No, I haven't.
Yes.
I mean, that's like when you go to a movie and 5 minutes into it, you kind of forget that it isn't real and you just get into the story. You understand? Because your subconscious brain, Venus and Eric, is accepting it as if it's real. Only your conscious brain can even try to make differentiations of whether something's real or not. Stay there. I'm going to come right back to you after this break. Venus and Eric, stay there. Then Ted, Jim, and many others. I'm Alex Jones, PrisonPlanet.tv. Okay, those callers dropped off, but they were asking a question about perception. And the issue here is, going back to aspartame, and you go to a cookout or a park or a church function, and there's not just men and women drinking diet drinks with aspartame, NutraSweet or Equal as it's known. It's children. And it is a toxic chemical. It was not approved twice. Rumsfeld got it approved in 1981. In the monkey studies, it killed a lot of the monkeys that drank it. It does attack your eyes, your brain, your organs. Just like sodium fluoride is deadly, just search the term fluoride cancer. You'll get thousands of major studies. This is an absolute fact, but it's just hidden in plain view. Well, people have always been drinking fluoride water the last 60 years. We've always been drinking the last, 29 years, this aspartame, and now it's, nobody tells you, it's just suddenly even in your sugar gum. It's suddenly in baked goods. And here's the big secret. It's highly addictive. The medical doctors we've had on have talked about treating people for aspartame addiction and the incredible health rebounds they have once they get off of it. But it takes, I had a family member who drank a couple Diet Cokes a day, and they were completely addicted. They were having health problems, and I talked them into slowly going off, and they literally had withdrawals like they were a crack addict or something. For weeks, they were sick, and then they were finally incredibly healthy once they got off of it. So they sell something that's addictive. Now it's in children's foods everywhere, and it's hidden in plain view. Get conscious about this, okay? It's very simple. Ted in Pennsylvania, you're on the air.
Hey, Alex.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I finally get through. Anyway, I'm calling from the first police state to fall, Pennsylvania, under the Mossad new government police state.
Well, anyway, that's true. Yeah, it's admitted that a Mossad company does illegally spy on the people of Pennsylvania, including the legislature. That's in all the major papers, and their main group they've been hired to spy on are gun groups and tea parties. And that just shows where this country's gone, how the government's hiring foreigners and recruiting foreigners to fill up the military as well.
Anyway, I just wanted to bring up a few issues. First off, on Russia Today, I thought it was kind of interesting how Russia Today pulled you into that clip with Damon Vickers, and then they cut it off right at the end before he mentioned you on the Glenn Beck Show. I thought that was kind of strange how they kind of got you on there to destroy Glenn Beck, but then they kind of cut you off too at the end. That was kind of strange. But usually,
well, I mean, I'll go on Fox, I'll go on RT, I'll go on BBC, I'll go anywhere, and I don't think that was a negative piece. I had RT once, twice here interviewing me in person, and they admitted that the head of RT US is a big fan, and that a lot of the guests they have on is from my show. And they were pointing out that when I have a guest on, then Glenn Beck has a guest on. And even Newsweek has pointed out that he now covers many of the issues I cover. And I was saying it was positive that he was starting to cover those issues. And people say, and I appreciate your call, Ted, why are you covering Glenn Beck once or twice a week? Well, it's because he reaches 20, 30, 40 million people, depending on what ratings period you look at, every week. And last week, he admitted that the Fabian Socialist and the White House science czar want to drug the water to sterilize you. I mean, that's a fact. I've got the book written by John P. Holdren, the White House science czar. I've been covering this almost every show for 2 years. That's a positive thing. And that's a big deal. I mean, what does that say about our information about world government that now, not just Beck, but, I mean, they're covering it on CNN, they're covering it on MSNBC, over and over again now, they're having top Republican pundits like Dick Morris admit world government's here and taking over through the banking system. So they tried to deny all this for so long, they can't do it anymore. So that's a big deal. That's a big issue. And I made the prediction on air a month ago that if Beck continues to really start getting hardcore and telling the truth, he won't be on Fox. Now I have WorldNet Daily, New York Times, and a bunch of other mainstream articles this week saying, will Glenn Beck leave Fox? And then the New York Times, Beck told him Roger Ailes is mad at him and he might get pushed out. I mean, that's incredible. So you'll know if Glenn Beck's for real because he's not going to. It's like Lou Dobbs. By the way, he's probably on next week. I'll just leave it at that. He's been on before. Lou Dobbs was real. Don't agree with everything he said, but he was real. The guy's real. Okay, he was fighting the globalists. He was talking about the elites. He was talking about mega corporations wanting socialism. It didn't matter if he had the top ratings on CNN. I mean, he had 2.5 million viewers on average. Larry King Live's got 800,000. The number one show, 800,000. They got rid of him. Okay, I mean, this is a, people ask, well, why'd you talk about Lou Dobbs when that was happening? Because it's important. It's a big deal. Let's talk to Jim in Texas. You're on the air.
Hey, Alex, how you doing today?
Pretty good, sir.
One of the reasons that I wanted to call in, I was listening here a couple weeks ago when you were talking about the possibility of the false flag terrorism and so on and so forth.
And now the government says we could absorb an attack. It might help America. We tried to keep you safe, but you didn't give all your rights up. And we have all these White House advisors telling the Financial Times of London, Robert Shapiro, that he needs a massive terror attack to look strong. Go ahead.
You're absolutely right. And what my point on this is, instead of what I would like to find some way to do, is to get a pre-planned or pre-set-up response to any kind of a terrorist attack, whether it's homegrown, whether it's false flag, whether it's real, it doesn't matter.
I was about to say, that's my problem with a pre-packaged response. I've got to analyze it. Sometimes that takes weeks to know, because there are some real terror attacks.
I understand, but again, even this particular methodology doesn't matter, because even if it is a real terror attack, they've taken all our rights. They're listening to all the phone calls.
Exactly. No. And I'm interrupting. I'll hold you over if need be. This is key, and I meant to even talk about this today. I'm glad you called, Jim. That's why I love the calls, because you take us in important directions, is that even if the terror attacks are real, even if 9/11 was real, which all the evidence shows it's as phony as a $3 bill, it doesn't matter. Homeland Security admits 95% of the architecture is for gun owners, libertarians, returning veterans, the American people. They're using it to enslave us and using it for government secrecy. You're absolutely right. Go ahead.
But it was originally sold to us as being something to protect us, which, you know, there are those of us that have been listening or are waking up since Waco and Ruby Ridge, you know, era. But the point that I'm trying to make is it doesn't matter whether it's a false flag or whether it's a real attack. They didn't do what taking our rights away said what they were going to be able to do. So let's get them out. If it's a... I know there's a lot of different ways this can
go. No, I hear you. I hear you. I mean, Katrina, FEMA sabotaged that on purpose, blocked locals from responding. We know they did it to get more funding, more power. But regardless, the government can't and won't protect you. That's the message. Government cannot deliver. It looks good on paper until it hits reality. So what's your idea for a pre-planned response?
More or less, let's just a nationwide call for the impeachment of anybody and everybody from the president to his appointees who are supposed
stay
to
there,
be
stay there, Jim. It's all genius. And look, when they have a terror attack in Latin America or Asia, they fire the head of security. They fire a bunch of people. Here, everybody involved in letting it happen got more power, got record bonuses, and got more control. That's a great point. So how do we respond to that? I want to hear from you, Jim, then a bunch of other callers, and a ton of news on the other side. Key intel coming up. Stay with us.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows the war is over.
I remembered a decade ago learning about this and seeing the documents and finding it hard to believe, but Bank of America stops U.S. foreclosures for review. Turns out what the big mega banks have been doing is illegal on its face. They sell your mortgages into bundles and then don't even produce the deed when they take your house. And in many cases, J.P. Morgan Chase and others just take houses that are paid for in cash. I've got CNN news clips of their house was paid for. They owed no money. And a bank that didn't even own their old mortgage took it. And they just go, that's the way it is. And the sheriffs and the police follow orders and they come and take the house. Well, now, because so many people have learned, mainly through the Patriot movement, about this, that they are in serious trouble. So that's coming up in the final segment. I want to continue with a bunch of your calls now and into the next segment. But the issue that Jim in Texas was raising, we're going back to him, is so central. Even if you believe all this terror is real, you have a better chance statistically of being struck by lightning than being killed by an Al-Qaeda bad man. Turban on the head. But we've got to give up all our liberties, all our freedoms, let the government operate in even more secrecy and get trillions of taxpaying dollars and invade all these countries or the bad men will get us. Well, they can't protect us. They won't protect us. Governor Ridge last year admitted in a book that they put out fake terror alerts for political gain. I've been pointing out for weeks that Obama's issuing fake terror alerts. Months ago, I said he would do it. Here's The Guardian today. Barack Obama accused of exaggerating terror threat for political gain. No kidding. You have all these White House advisors 2 months ago, 3 months ago, saying, Obama, scare them with terror. They think you're so stupid, they write articles for the Financial Times saying, we're going to freak people out that bad men are going to get them. And then you get all the Homeland Security training manuals. It's for us, the American people. And they're trying to train the police that even criticizing the government is some type of act of terrorism when you can't get any more Americana than that. Jim, go ahead and finish your point.
Well, I mean, it was something that I've been running around in my head for like a couple of weeks now since you started talking about the false flag, impending false flag, since Obama brought up the false flag, the fact that we were able to absorb a terrorist attack and so on and so forth. It sounds just like before when they're getting everybody prepared for it. Here it comes, get ready, here it comes. And what they're expecting everyone to do is follow along behind Obama and all of a sudden say, you're our savior, do what you're supposed to do, protect us. But it never works out that way, and it doesn't work out that way, and it can't work out that way. So instead, we ought to do a complete 180 on them, take everybody that supposedly said that they were going to defend us and protect us, boot them out of office. I know a lot of those people were elected, but a lot of them were appointed. So you take the elected ones out, you take the appointed ones out. But even then, I mean, it gets even a little more complicated because you already have an existing chain of command.
Well, look, they were setting up this whole Homeland Security system in the early 90s. I've seen excerpts of Clinton talking about it. So it was always their plan to stage terror attacks and use that as a pretext to take over domestically and launch foreign wars. But I will, the day there's a big attack, I'll come out and say, put up flyers everywhere saying, don't give up your liberty for security, research stage terror. And absolutely fire those that screwed up and didn't protect us. Day one, point that out. I appreciate your points, Jim. They're very well taken. Let's talk to Brent in Pennsylvania. You're on the air, Brent.
Hello, Alex. Nice to talk to you for the first time.
Welcome.
I got 2 points. One coincides with the last two callers. Back in like early September, and here in Pennsylvania, in the area I live in, there was like several different Patriot groups having like rallies and stuff, and one of them was PA Gun Owners group, and a buddy of mine is starting to get in touch with them, said that right before they had their rally, they meet somewhere, and they had a suspicious movement outside their restaurant they were meeting at, and they went out and like noticed some guys rolling up in some dark SUVs, and they came out and like I don't know, digital camo, the kind you see in, like, really heavy urban combat settings. And I was like,
it's admitted in Pennsylvania and every other state, they had foreign, Mossad, you name it, spying on mainline conservative groups. I mean, that's what all this Homeland Security's for. And so what happened?
They, like, tried to hassle them, and they called out some more of the guys that were there meeting for their rally, and the more they came out, it kind of, like, I guess, shrugged these.
Okay, let me be clear. Let's be clear about your story here, Brent. You were hassling them, or your friends were, or the guys in camo were hassling you for how dare you as an American meet and talk about politics. That's illegal in the Soviet Union.
Yeah, basically what it was, the PA Gun Owners group was meeting before a rally at a restaurant somewhere, and they noticed some black SUVs rolled up, and they were starting to hover around their vehicles. And a couple of the PA Gun Owners guys came out and, like, took note to it, and they went to talk to the one, and they kind of, like, stepped back, and more came forward. And the other PA Gun Owners guys noticed that, and they came out, and they saw more people come out of the restaurant, and they kind of, like, backed off and then got on their SUVs and rolled away. And I was like, you know, what's up with that? And I asked my buddy, like, if he knew any details. And he said, like, I said, they were, like, urban camo, like the real...
All right,
like,
well, let me just be clear. We had the representative Daryl Metcalf on from Pennsylvania involved in founding those very gun groups you're talking about. And they confirmed that Mossad, under a state contract, the governor's apologized, but only because he got caught, is spying on members of the legislature. Because they can't get the feds to spy on the legislature. That's clearly illegal. So they hire a foreign company. So I wish they would have gotten some video of that confrontation. But that's exactly what goes on. I appreciate your call. And since you mentioned that, here's Raw's story. I've also got Cleveland.com. Revelations from Kent State audio tape prompt congressional inquiry. Kucinich probes whether FBI informant triggered Kent State massacre. And they've released the FBI surveillance tape where they basically were handing out, you know, the guns and it's on the tape saying, shoot those people. And the report is that they're looking at the FBI firing shots into the crowd. But it says the informants were hired to be there taking photos of the Kent State demonstration. So, look, it's the secret police in America, Brent. I appreciate your call. Aaron in Michigan, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Alex, how's it going?
Good.
I had a question, and this might sound like a stupid question, but I was wondering, if the government makes, like, enslaves the American people and makes us all in debt, what do you think would happen to, like, the video game industries, the computer industries, and stuff like that?
Well, like, they're just going to be off. They're going to be offshore. The manufacturing already is predominantly, and there'll still be a tiny middle class that can buy the goods. But this is a slow, incremental march into tyranny. It's not some overnight thing. We didn't lose most of our factories, our industry overnight. Then they told us, well, we have a service economy. Now that's imploding. Then they lie to us and say we're not even in a recession when all the evidence shows we're in a depression.
Yeah, I was just wondering, is they like, because I know that's how they basically program the youth through video games and music and stuff.
Well, you notice there's thousands of free video games that are programming people.
Yeah, and I was wondering, like, if that's the basically one way that they control the youth, would they ever think about demolishing the video game industry to control the youth more, like to find another way to control the youth?
Well, I don't see how demolishing the video game industry would do that, but Microsoft's one of the big hitters, so is Sony, and just full of programming and propaganda. I appreciate your call, Aaron. Let's go ahead and talk to Suzanne in New York. You're on the air.
Hi, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. You know, you're talking about the loans and everything. A fraudulent mortgage was taken out using a forged power of attorney, and the bank sold it to someone else. We went to the district attorney's office about it. They don't want to do anything about it. We went to the state's attorney's office. We went to the banking commission, and everybody we seemed to talk to said that there's not much they could do about it.
Well, that's not true, though. They're just hoping you go away. The big banks are losing in court all over the place, and they're scared. So they, Bank of America and others are on the verge. Bank of America's already done it, of suspending foreclosures because they have broken the law and the procedures. We're going to cover that when we come back, Suzanne. Anything else?
We lost our property.
Well, stay there. Stay there. I'm going to come back to you.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. It's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
We are back live. I'm going to try to jam in as many of your calls, Susan, William, Karen, Sarah, Josh, and others, but I didn't get to the Patrick Henry speech. I'm going to cover it tomorrow on the 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. We'll do 4 hours tomorrow live. A few months ago, I went to a three-hour show from 4 hours because I'm so busy with the new TV studios, but now I'm going back to 4 hours more and more. Maybe we'll just go back permanently. 3 hours isn't enough. 2 hours isn't enough on Sunday. But to try to illustrate this, because it's such a complex issue, there's hundreds of different things mega banks that are doing that are illegal. So are insurance companies, because they control all the major regulators at the state and federal level and internationally. Why not? But here's Bloomberg from 2 weeks ago, part two of their report. Veterans Agency made secret deal over benefits with 6 million veterans to take their pension money, their death benefits from their widows and widowers when they died illegally. They made the deal secretly more than 10 years ago. And Prudential's now admitted it, but in court produced the secret agreements with the VA to have the veterans pay for death benefits, but then not give it to them. Okay? Now, I mean, if that doesn't wake you up to just how out of control these insurance companies and banks are, I don't know what will. Now, there are a lot of people got mortgages they shouldn't have, and they were told to lie on the forms and all the rest of it. Yes. Are they partially guilty, some of them? Yes. But the real guilt goes with the Glass-Steagall Act being ended. They wanted to package these mortgages, again, 11 years ago when all this kicked off. So they did it. And it's a fact. You can pull up that, just search the term J.P. Morgan, you know, in court, you know, repossessed home they didn't own. Goldman Sachs, same headline. Bank of America, or there it is, J.P. Morgan thug breaks into home, not in foreclosure report. And that's a Justice Department probe foreclosure practices. Now, they said we were conspiracy theorists a decade ago. They said this wasn't happening. 10 years ago, I had a little, you know, three-bedroom house in South Austin, $100,000 mortgage. And they, the people I bought it from sold it at least three times, and then Bank of America took my escrow and was threatening me and threatening to go to court against me if I didn't pay another escrow. And I had to pay a lawyer, a mortgage lawyer, and they said, okay, we'll file suit. This is criminal. Now, most people don't know how to do that. Now, poor Suzanne, she went to the government, to the district attorney, and said, help me, I'm a poor lady, this is illegal. And they just said, sorry, can't help you. That's not how you do it. You've got to file the paperwork yourself. There's a lot of experts who've been winning in court on this, and I want a full court press to get a whole string of them on the next month. Okay, we're going to get them all on here. People that have been winning in court. Now, it runs the gamut. Some things are outright criminal, where banks will just break into a house that's paid for cash. They don't even own the mortgage, but they bought derivatives that were packaged out of that from a decade or you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years before. And they say, we don't care. We bought this derivative on the person you bought the house from 7 years ago. We say we own it. And they take it. They take it. That's on CNN. You can search up CNN, home taken from owners, paid for home taken from owners. In fact, search that on YouTube. I want to just at least show the image for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers. You cannot make this stuff up. You cannot make up taking 6 million dead veterans death benefits. I mean, you just, and the government made the agreement secretly. It's a pack of criminals, okay? None of us are safe. I'm ranting now. But they tried to pass a law last week, but Obama vetoed it ahead of the election because he knows it's political suicide to allow banks to just do whatever they want with mortgages. And we covered that on Friday with Bob Chapman. But that's something Obama did actually good. He vetoed it last Thursday. But it passed. This criminal House and Senate passed that stinking bill. So they're racing to try to get something done right now. And that's why four major banks, now five, with Bank of America, have suspended all foreclosures. It runs the gamut from outright fraud to upping people's interest rate when the contract doesn't say that, just counting on their ignorance, to selling it 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, in some cases more than 20 times, but they keep the service of the loan because that's where the real profits are at, and then it's sold as derivatives and AAA rated when it's really total crud, hence what started the housing collapse 2 years ago. But under law, you've got to have the deed. But these companies don't have the deed because it's been sold over and over again. Okay, so here's the Associated Press. Bank of America stops U.S. foreclosures for review. Bank of America stops foreclosures across the country, expanding review of mortgage documents. Now, this is the mainstream media spin, but listen to how devastating this is, okay? It goes on. Bank of America on Friday halted foreclosures of homes across the country so it could review paperwork and tens of thousands of cases for flaws, expanding a crisis at a perilous time for the housing market. The move came as the PNC Finance Services became the fourth major bank to announce that it would stop foreclosures in at least some states. It added the growing concerns that mortgage lenders have been evicting homeowners despite flawed court papers. Flawed. They don't even own houses in many cases and they take them. you know, they've got loopholes in a lot of those loans where you're late on one payment, they try to take it, especially if your house is more than half paid for. Doesn't matter if you're upside down on the loan. Even at reduced prices, they can make money. It's the old thing of banks, you know, the farm's got one more payment and they do some manipulation to take it. Bank of America, the largest U.S. bank, has said earlier it would stop foreclosures in 23 states where the process must be approved by a judge. Yeah, where there's still law. Ally Financial GMAC Mortgage Unit and J.P. Morgan Chase has announced similar plans. Bank of America Nationwide will halt and will apply to homes that the bank is taking back itself and those for which it has transferred the papers to mortgage buyers Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. The bank said it had not found any widespread problems, you know that's a lie, in its foreclosure process, but we'll go back and check our work for more time. CEO Brian Moynihan told the National Press Club in Washington. No, they're losing in court, and so they're desperate. A Bank of America spokesman acknowledged that the bank acted in response to pressure from state attorney generals and other public officials inquiring about the accuracy of foreclosure documents. We feel the need to address and demonstrate our process is accurate. A document obtained last week by the AP showed a Bank of America official acknowledged in a legal proceeding that they signed thousands of foreclosure documents a month and typically did not read them. Did not read them. The official said in a February deposition that he signed up to 8,000 such documents a month. And why is all this happening? There are tens of thousands of lawsuits now filed by attorneys and by lay groups who've learned all this, and they're winning. Look, if veterans' families start filing suit about the major insurance companies stealing your death benefits, they're going to lose too. But you got to get up to the bully in their face and say no to them and get good state governments elected that won't put up with this. All other banks are going to end up this way either because they're going to be forced to or by political pressure, it goes on. And some analysts and real estate agents worry that the uncertainty about the documents mess could make potential buyers change their minds about purchasing foreclosed properties. That's because of fears that the former owners could turn around and sue because they're taking them under fraudulent pretense. Now listen, Susanna and William, I'm sorry to everybody. I'm not going to have time to get you, but finishing up, Susanna, I'm sorry they took your house, but what chicanery, briefly, did they engage in with you?
They used a forged power of attorney. They used a mortgage that my husband's name wasn't even on, and they transferred their ownership to somebody else, and he sued my husband.
But you know how they did that? You know how they did that? At signing, you need to get the full documents. They make you sign a lot of times a power of attorney in case there's any mistakes in the mortgage. That's in quotes.
There was an admitted forgery, and
wow.
The judge upheld it all. And she wouldn't even, she said, we couldn't even bring in our side of the case. It was an automatic, and we lost. We were thrown out of the house. We couldn't even appeal it.
How much money had you put into the house? How much money?
The house is over. It was almost $600,000, and they took a loan out for $100,000. And my husband's name wasn't even on the mortgage.
But I mean, how much had you paid into the house?
The house cost originally $100,000, but it was worth over $600,000.
So to be clear, how close was your house to being paid off?
It was already paid off. This was another loan.
See,
that's
what they're being. No. Okay, Susanna. Incredible. Send us your information if you want to come on as a guest. I'm going to get into this really big time. I covered it 10 years ago, 6-7 years ago. We were really into all this. People didn't believe us, so I said, fine, you'll find out. But that's exactly what they're in trouble for. That's what I was telling you. If your house is half paid off, 40%, 60, 80, if it's juicy and really or completely paid off, absolutely, that's coming out in the news. People are just have cops show up, shotguns are locked. If you don't get out, and you're like, but my house is paid for. And they just say, no, it ain't. Just like those dead veterans. Their wives say, I'm supposed to get $1 million. And they say, you're not getting jack squat, honey. And we got paramilitary forces trained to call you a terrorist. You're going to give us your house, or we'll send by a SWAT team to kill your butt. God bless you all. InfoWars.com.